Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone Payton, Sanjay Touré with you this morning. Sanjay, it feels like it's been forever. How
it
have you been?
It has been. You just came back from Arizona not too long ago, right?
That was a lot of fun. We did the Conscious Capitalism Conference. We got to catch up with some old friends, meet some new ones. We also had at the same time Mike Salmon doing FinTech South 2019 here. And it's been a blast, but it's been a whirlwind.
Yeah. And I've been holding it down here in the station.
All right. Can we tell people yet, or is it for next week? Are we going to tell them about your new show?
Oh, yeah, we can tell people.
All right.
I'm pretty excited.
Give
about
us a little
it.
Bit of a primer, a little bit of an overview.
So, I am a recent college grad. I graduated last year in May, so it's been almost a year, basically. And I graduated with a broadcast communication degree, and I was recently located in Milton, Massachusetts, and I came to Atlanta like right after graduation, and since then I've been on my journey to find a job within broadcast communications, and it's been extremely tough. And I want to use this platform to get in communication with journalists and producers and those who are within that field. So I believe that by having a show called Media Minds, which is just having conversations with people within that field, will get me closer to my goal. So that's the whole spiel.
And our experience has been this platform is marvelous for building relationships with people who you need to meet and want to serve. So,
exactly.
All right. So we're going to work on that as some more as early as this afternoon, right?
Yep.
All right. But this is going to be no exception. This is going to be a fantastic show. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us corporate sponsorships leader Pat Hurston and CEO Angela Robb with LeaderCast. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to be back. It is wonderful. Good to see you guys. Good to meet you. Sanjay, we're very excited about your new show. We're going to support you for that.
Thank you so much.
So listen, I am now over at LeaderCast, running their corporate sponsorship. I am just delighted. We really focus on leadership development, and I am pleased to introduce you to one of the most fantastic people I have met. You know how you can meet people and everybody has something good to say about them, and that is Ms. Angela Robb. She is just fantastic. I'm so happy to be on her team, and I'd like to just ask Angela to tell everybody a little bit about LeaderCast.
Well, Pat, thank you for the compliment, and Sanjay, congrats again.
Thank you so much.
Makes me so proud of you, but love it. Thank you. We are LeaderCast, and we are so excited for this Friday. We will have the world's largest one-day leadership event, and we'll simulcast out to over 100,000 people around the world. And we're an 18-year-old organization started by John Maxwell. And Pat, we're so thrilled that you've joined our team, a seasoned, incredible professional like yourself.
Thank you.
So
thank
it's you. Been an absolute, we're fortunate to have you on the team.
Thank you. So we have two events that we want to quickly tell everybody about so that everybody will know and get there because it's so fantastic. I can hardly sleep all week, okay, because I'm so excited.
It's exactly right.
So I'm going to have Angela talk a little bit about our May 10th event this coming Friday, and then I'm going to talk about our women's event that will be later in the year.
Thank you so much. Yes, this Friday at the Infinite Energy Arena, starting at 8 o'clock and going till 3:30, we will have an amazing cast starting with Andy Stanley, a local hero that everybody, I'm always amazed around the world, are such fans of this incredible man.
And he tells such great stories.
He does.
He makes good points, but he tells great stories that make it relatable for me. Anyway.
It's interesting. When we travel around the world to our various host sites, and we just hear that he's so relatable, right? And it's why he's done such a great job building what he has. So thank you for saying that. We also have Gail King joining us, Patrick Lencioni. I'm sure that all of those of us have read books by him. I think he has 14 or 15 out there, so we're super excited to have him. It's incredible. So I'm a huge fan of his. We have Marcus Samuelson, who is an amazing chef and has just an interesting concept and has changed the world within culinary arts. And we've got Carla Harris from Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, and we have Ginger Hartage, who's the chief people officer, was formerly with Southwest Airlines. So an incredible cast of speakers. Please come out. And the thing that we're very excited about at LeaderCast is we do a really good job of making sure that we have people in different verticals of business, whether it's philanthropic, you're in the culinary arts, that bring together their best practices as leaders, which is... Go ahead.
The logistics, the forethought that it must take to put an event like this together and get that caliber of talent on the dais, I can't imagine. Although, hey, we did a pretty good job here, though, didn't we? Yeah.
It's very true, and I didn't realize coming from higher education and executive education the time that it takes to put that together. And we really do have a formula. As you know, you've worked really hard to have a really great, diverse group here today. And so we work really hard on that. But, man, our VP of Operations, Angie Aarons, does an incredible job. We just recently brought her on board, and so she's seasoned. She's typically used to putting about 36 of these events on a year, and we have
good
two.
Good gracious.
So, yeah. We're super excited.
Yeah, yeah.
You so, want to highlight so, our women's
so
event,
absolutely.
Pat?
I am, you know, that's my passion, women and children. It is just my passion. And so I am so super excited about the event that we will have this fall on Friday, October 18th at the Cobb Energy Center. And the theme for it is Discover the Power of Taking Courage. It is just going to be fantastic. We have a great lineup of women. We have Priya Parker. All these women have written these books. They're just incredible. We have Glennon Doyle. We have Francesca Gino. We have Susan
Packard.
Yeah, Susan, who is the founder of HGTV. It's just fantastic. Deshaun Barber, who is fantastic. She is the first woman in the military to be in a pageant. She was Miss USA 2016. Wow. Just fantastic. Kendra Scott, oh my God, I have all of her jewelry. she's going to be there.
So does Chris.
Yep. Kate Delaney.
I'm going to give it to my wife.
And then a fantastic woman named Lovey Ajayi. And she talks about, which I just love what she's talking about, is getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
I love her.
Which is just fantastic. And then everybody knows Lisa Ling. We are just really fantastically, we're just like so over the moon with all this richness and goodness. Listen, your listeners can get tickets by going on leadercast.com. We still have tickets available. Please come out. You will not be disappointed.
All right, so let's break these events down, because the one you're speaking about, Pat, it is purely a live event at this arena.
It's live here in Atlanta, but it is being simulcast and broadcast all over the world.
Wow.
So you actually participate in the world's largest one-day leadership event. And so predominantly U.S.-centric because of the time frames.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had LeaderCast Nigeria. We have LeaderCast around the world. And it's incredible how both corporations and individuals who want to fill the world with leaders worth following. And at LeaderCast, we believe all people are leaders. A little girl on the playground who encourages inclusive play, she's a leader. You just don't have to have a C in your title of an organization. And quite honestly, our platform will really expand over the next few years, because all of us are seeking great leaders in our communities. And it doesn't have to be, again, within your organization or voted for as far as an official. We all go out of here. You have a group of leaders at this table right now.
Yes.
Well, your reputation and your brand story precede you. I mean, we all know that, and Lee and I recognized that the moment you reached out. We knew that you were going to land somewhere special like this, Pat. But walk us through what happens a day in the life of a Pat and an Angela 3 weeks from now. Are you out talking to corporations and helping them craft some plan to have their best and brightest participate? Talk about the day-to-day.
Yeah, you bet. One of the things that I am passionate about is how we get not only our current corporate leaders in the environment that we're in today to be leaders, especially women, to really take and be courageous about taking bold steps to really be honest and to really work in their authenticity of who they are. But I'm also very passionate, which is why I was attracted to working with LeaderCast, is what we need to do for our young people. And we believe that even in the at the high school level, at the college level, is how do you have people learn leadership skills to really be have that emotional intelligence, really understand how they show up and how they can be leaders. And it is extremely important now. So Angela and I spend our time talking to corporations, talking to basically anybody who will talk to us about how to really bring it forward with developing leaders that are worth following. Everybody isn't worth following just because they're a leader. Okay.
You know, Stone, it's interesting as you ask that, because as we go out and we obviously want to hear feedback from all of our community, right? So that's one thing that will go out. And we're working really hard at LeaderCast to ensure that we have not only tactical takeaways when someone comes through, but they're also inspired. But we want to drive down the middle of that. So how do you walk out a better leader, right? But then also that you really feel like you've ignited something. And I was just talking to a Fortune 50 chief leadership development officer, 3 weeks ago, and asked them, why do you attend our event? And I thought they were going to talk about, well, we send our cohorts of talent because we come out and we just have better business tactical. We go in there and hit it hard. And she said, we come to your event because you provide hope. And I sat there and I thought, this is amazing. And they are a multinational, obviously. And she said, I said, who's your favorite speaker? And she said, Andy Stanley. Mm. And she said, in particular, in our offices, we hear feedback because, as you talked about and highlighted earlier, just making it very simple and you can walk away and take that out. But she said, it's someone who gives me thoughts and ideas about your theme and how to position things. But it's about hope. Hope that not only I become a better leader, but that my boss becomes a better leader. And I think that that's really profound and ignites us every day that we go to work.
And this thing that you've crafted, the way that you've chosen to build it and deploy it, a number two guy in a little media company, a young lady just getting her career started, or a Fortune 500 VP, we can all participate in this thing and all profit from. I think that's absolutely amazing. I got to know, Angela, your backstory. How did you get involved with this kind of work?
It's a crazy story. Half of my career, it's perfectly divided between higher education. So I ran the MBA program at Georgia State for quite a while.
Oh, well. We're out there tomorrow, by the way, doing some on-site work.
Go Panthers. and then once I actually went through the MBA program, I decided to hit corporate America and see what I could do with that degree. And I've just been really fortunate. But to end up back at something where it's a perfect mix in my background of education and then adult education and management consultancy, it's perfect. I love what I'm doing. But most importantly, Stone, you highlighted, we have an incredible team of people back in our office right now that are rocking and rolling. This next week is intense, as both of you know, and producing events. When you have 100,000 people that come into your living room and watch your content, it's pretty incredible. So I have a team that is not sweating the small stuff this week.
She has built an incredible team. I have never felt so comfortable and so welcomed by such a wonderful group. And you would think it's like hundreds of people, but it's this tiny little team. It is fantastic, to be able to do this work.
All right, so if our listeners want to learn more about these two events or about LeaderCast in general, let's make sure we get the right coordinates for that and the right approach or process for that. And let's make sure that everybody knows when, where, and how to get tickets to these two events.
So you can go to leadercast.com, and there will be a promotional code for all of your listeners today, and it's ANG, Ange. Please put that in. That's a special because Stone is my friend, and he calls me Ange. That ANG, we wanted to make that as simple as possible, and that's a significant discount to support this incredible show.
Well, that is fantastic. Thank you both for coming in. Pat, congratulations
on
your new post. I know you're going to be marvelously successful. Ange. I think you're absolutely blessed to have Pat in the mix.
I am.
And I don't know if and how it might be appropriate, but the Business Radio X platform is open and available to you guys periodically if you want to come in here and keep us updated and help us get the word out. We'll probably have somebody smarter than me, like maybe Sanjay, maybe periodically have you guys come in and talk about what you got cooking over there.
And be our guest this Friday. Love to as well. And that's for the two people I'm looking at in the audience, not all of the people. What just happened? Our numbers erupted. We made nothing, though.
What a delight. Hey, listen, hang out with us a little bit. We're going to visit with a couple more guests.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Our pleasure. All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us Senior Director of Business Development with Heinemann Auction House, Miss Kristen Vaughn. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me here. It's such a pleasure and honor to be here with you guys.
Isn't this fun?
It is fun. It's a great way to start my morning, a great way to start my week, and also kind of a great way to start just me being in Atlanta, because as you know, I'm relatively new here.
Yeah. Have you had any grits yet?
I have, actually. Cheese grits. This past weekend, I went to the farmer's market in Piedmont Park, and there was a really great food truck, Southern Biscuit. Have you guys heard of this before?
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Marvelous.
Highly recommend it.
I do want to learn all about you and your work, but first, what'd you learn in that last segment? What'd you think?
So I really have to say how impressive this is. I have, unfortunately, not heard about this. I must be living under a rock, but I've also been kind of in like a fog of moving from Florida up to Atlanta. So I'm really excited to learn more about this. I'm going to go onto the website, check it out. I'm so impressed with your guest, Lisa Ling. I grew up watching Lisa Ling on TV. Really think that she's absolutely one of my favorite journalists. So it's really exciting that she's going to be, part of that group coming up there.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
All right, so Heinemann Auction House, mission, purpose, what are you out there trying to do for folks?
So Heinemann Auctions actually started in Chicago nearly 40 years ago. Our company's former name was Leslie Heinemann Auctioneers, and so a lot of your listeners may be already familiar with that company. So 40 years ago, Leslie Heinemann started an auction house in Chicago, and she had got her starts with Sotheby's, and everybody's probably familiar with Sotheby's and Christie's. And just really quick, what do you guys know about auction houses? Like when you hear auction house, what comes to mind? I'm just curious from everyone.
I've been to them and I've bid on things.
Okay.
But they're kind of fun while you're buying things.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's very expensive for a type A like myself. I like to win. And typically that bodes me not well, but really good for you.
Okay, good. Okay, so everybody kind of has a general sense. Lee, what do you think about when you hear auction?
So I don't think they'd let me in.
Why is that?
No, it just looks like it's a pretty fancy affair, when I see it on,
Well, so that's the thing that I think is the big misconception that a lot of people have about auctions is that there's lots of different types of auctions. There's lots of different levels. So you guys are probably the most familiar with high-end auctions like Sotheby's and Christie's, where you've got multi-million dollar things going up for auction, being sold to, Saudi princes or royals. Then you also have lower level auctions. Think eBay or think the estate liquidator or a car auction house. That's certainly a different type of auction. And then you have middle market auction houses. And that's really where we fall in. So when Leslie Heinemann got her start a long time ago, she actually started with Sotheby's when she was 22, 23. By the time she was 28, she actually opened her own auction house in Chicago. And she was selling, the paintings on the walls and the vacuum cleaners in the closet. So it was a really a mixed bag of everything. So it's a very kind of humble beginning with our company. She grew this to be more of a fine art and jewelry auction house. So much later, she was really focused on post-war and contemporary art or modern design, rare books. So kind of the major collecting categories that you're seeing now. Then back, I want to say it was mid-80s, but like late 80s, early 90s, Sotheby's wanted to get in on the middle market. So because she had a really great relationship with that company, they approached her about buying our company. Of course, she jumped at the opportunity and then ran the Chicago office for Sotheby's. But after a couple years go by, she realized that she kind of liked being her own boss really wanted to get back into that. So she waited out her non-compete and then reopened in in 2003 under the Heinzmann brand again. So what's really, I think, fascinating about Leslie, just as a woman, an entrepreneur, a leader, is that she's the only person I know that has been able to sell her business twice, to rebuy it back, sell it twice, make an absolute killing. Because in 2017, so most recently, we had a private equity investor come in and purchase a substantial amount of the business. And so now we're just under Heinzmann. Leslie's taken a little bit of a step back. She's on our board. She's considered our founder. But she's less involved with the day-to-day operational aspect. We have a new CEO. His name's Thomas Galbraith. He's awesome. He's 40 years old. He was the former CEO of a Google startup called Twyla. Before that, he was the CEO for Paddle 8, which is an online auction house. And so he has this really great art and technology background, and he's the perfect fit for us to lead our company over the next decade or so, because he's got this great vision for art and technology, and that's really where things are moving with auction houses. So you're probably thinking of walking into an actual auction room and raising a paddle and bidding, and yes, that absolutely happens. But what's more likely to happen at auction are people sitting at home, clicking a mouse, and doing the online bidding instead. More and more people are finding us that way. And it's exciting to see all this growth with our company.
So why the move to Atlanta?
So I was hired nearly 10 years ago by Leslie Heinzmann to open up our first regional office and auction room in Naples, Florida. And so I was really loving living in Naples, you know, working this great 40-hour work week because everybody goes to sleep at 6 o'clock, you know, in the evening down in Naples. So it's kind of like...
You know Naples, don't you? You fly down there, don't you?
I have relatives down there.
So, I mean, as you know, it's a very kind of easy breezy lifestyle. It's beautiful. It's year-round sunshine. The people are so nice because it's all Midwesterners. I mean, it's a really great area. But, I mean, I just had my 40th birthday in January, and I just kind of thought, what do I want for the next decade of my life? And so I sat down and had a chat with Thomas, our new CEO, and I just said, you know, I really want to do what I did in Naples. I want to open up in a new market. I want to do what I did. I want to grow another office. And we had already actually had an Atlanta office for about a year, but it just really wasn't making any money yet. It has a lot of potential. And we thought if we could just get a veteran salesperson into this office to really make it make money and make sense for the company, we can grow. So that's my job, is to come in and make the Atlanta office profitable, which so far we're already seeing. We're getting a lot of phone calls. We just had a very successful auction out of our Buckhead sales room this past Friday. We actually had people in the seats raising paddles, as well as a lot of people registered online and bidding by phone. All in all, I want to say we had about 2,000 people registered for our Atlanta collection.
I know, wait a minute. This is happening at the same time. Chris and I are in the room with our paddles,
right,
doing our thing, because we like getting that juice,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And then Sanjay's calling in from wherever, bidding on the same thing.
Yes, she could be sitting at home in her pajamas, bidding on artwork and jewelry and things like that. So it's a lot of fun. We like it when people actually show up for the sale. It's kind of more fun for us, but the online component is huge. In fact, we'll probably be moving into an online-only format, but if Atlanta proves to us that they want a live sales room, then we'll do it. We're basically here to kind of figure things out, see what the local market, you know, wants here. We already know what the national and international market wants, but we really want to make sure that we're connecting with the community. And if the local community is saying, we want to attend auctions and we want to go to fun parties ahead of your previews and see the things and have a glass of champagne and walk around and bid on things, we absolutely will, you know, answer that call.
Well, yeah, let me ask about that then. How do you know what's going to be auctioned? Because it's not the old days where you print the magazine.
We actually do have catalogs. We're very old-fashioned that way.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
we're into antiques.
All right. So if I'm into antiques, I'm not, but let's play for a minute. If I am, there's a catalog or a thing that comes out that I can look at for something that I can bid on 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now? How's that?
Yes. So the catalog goes online 3 weeks ahead of the auction. And this is for all of our categories. So if you were to go on our website now, which is HeinemannAuctions.com, I'll give that plug right there. you can see all of the sales that are coming up, and you can actually go onto the online catalog and see every single lot. But one of the questions that you, or part of the question I think you asked was, how do we get those consignments? How do we get that property that we're offering for the auctions? So the first thing first, I think a lot of people think that the auction house owns the property, or that we go on these extensive buying trips through Europe or wherever.
Sounds
that,
fun.
It would be fun. And I would love to sign up for that job. So if that exists, please call me. So actually, that's just not the reality of it. We get all of the property that we offer at auction through private individuals or museums and institutions that are deaccessioning. So, for example, if there's an estate situation, someone has passed away, most likely we're contacted by a family member or the executor of that estate. Sometimes we're contacted by an outside trustee, like a private banker or an estate attorney, to basically have items valued and potentially sold. This is where things sometimes get tricky because, as you may know, value is incredibly subjective. And when you're dealing with a painting that hung above your mother's mantle your entire life, exactly, it belongs in a museum. And so it can be incredibly emotional sometimes for family members to deal with the realities of where a value might lie. So we're, you know, you kind of, you know, earlier, Angela and Pat were talking about, you know, those leaders, and you don't have to have a C in front of your name. I'm definitely in that boat where I have to lead our clients through this process. And so a lot of what I'm doing is educating them on value, educating on them on where that property value stands in the market today, and then making sure that they understand that. I'm also really good at saying no. So there's a lot.
That's important. I'm sure Andy would have a great story about why you need to be prepared to say no. But, right?
You have to, because there's sometimes when someone presents you with something that just doesn't make sense to sell through our company, and maybe they should go try selling it someplace else or keep it in the family because it just doesn't make sense to send it through auction. And we have to very gently explain that to someone and make them understand why it's not going to make sense for us to handle it. And that can be tricky, again, because if there's a lot of emotional attachment to something, we had to be sensitive to that.
Okay, so you're working both sides of this, though, right? You're helping procure these items, and you're helping with the marketing, the promotion, the execution of these auctions.
Yes.
You're a busy lady.
It's not just me. I have a really big, big team behind me. So we have.
Yeah, but you're the secret sauce. Let's be honest.
All right. I'll take that.
No, go ahead. You say you've got a whole team.
I do. I would never be able to do this alone. Absolutely not. So I have a huge marketing team. They're based in Chicago. Then we have a team, an army of specialists at our disposal. But we do have one in particular that works with our office, a gentleman named John King, who has an amazing background in our business. He has well over 40 years of experience that he's brought to him to work with us. He started with us last year, and he's successfully put together a number of auctions for our company. And he's an all-around great guy, incredibly knowledgeable. So that's kind of my go-to when it comes to valuing items for the Atlanta auction. And then let's say somebody comes in with a piece of jewelry. So when I leave here today, I've got to go meet with a client to review some jewelry. I'm not a gemologist. I can't tell somebody what their 10-carat Graff diamond ring is worth. So I have to rely on our gemologist to do that. So we're meeting together, and we'll be going over that with this woman who has contacted us and wants to potentially sell these types of things through us. So I rely heavily on our specialists. Essentially, my role with the company is being a liaison between the specialists getting these property, these items valued at auction.
Now, do you ever have someone with really deep pockets like Chris Morris over here who wants that Civil War item or that special painting that reaches out to you and says, keep an eye out for me or help me find? Is that part of the world too?
Yes, absolutely. So we have an entire list of buyers interested in various categories, and that list is constantly being updated, constantly changing. It's really exciting when collectors reach out to us to say, hey, I want this item. We always absolutely encourage that. But because of the World Wide Web, they're constantly finding us, and they're constantly reaching out through these digital platforms. And so it's really amazing how with almost very little effort, we're able to find these people, or I should say they're able to find us. And I mean, I don't think, 10, 20 years ago, I don't think that would have been the case, because the internet.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so what's next? How can we help? What do you need more of? You need more people bidding? You need more stuff?
Both. Yeah. So I guess what it is a call to action to the community. I kind of feel like even if you yourself are not a collector, I kind of feel that everybody goes through a situation where they might need an auction house. So we like to say that our property comes from the three D's. And at the risk of sounding rude, that is death, divorce, and debt. And sometimes you can even add...
Sounds like your business, Chris.
Yeah, it does.
And sometimes we can even add a fourth D, and that's downsizing. And so... if someone dies, you might be looking at assets that they have, having them valued. Mm-hmm. Or if you know that obviously you've got aging parents and you know that they have a home filled with beautiful furniture and decorative things that you've been told have value.
Well, Mom has the salad spinner that I've been wanting to get rid of. No, I'm kidding.
No, but you know, may I ask you a question? Yeah. Because what's interesting is I'm hearing of so many people that their children and grandchildren don't want their family heirlooms.
Yes.
And so your business is very busy, right?
Because
they don't. They want all new. And
they
so,
do. They do. And so it's kind of a catch 22 in the sense that you've got a lot of younger generation. They want all new, and there's not as much sentimental demand out there for some of these things, particularly when it's not fitting in their home, whether it's the fashion or just their taste. And essentially, they're looking at selling these items, monetizing these things. Our biggest categories, I would say, is artwork and jewelry. There is a big, strong demand out there for post-war and contemporary art and jewelry. So that's what does the best. But we certainly have a market for just about everything. And if it's not right for us, we can certainly help kind of steward that in the right direction.
Well, keep up the good work. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
You never know what Sanjay needs and wants, right?
Right. Exactly. Right. You're going to make it big in the radio world, and then you're going to be our biggest, jewelry and art buyer.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
All right.
I have to add, my grandfather bought a little piece, a painting from an artist in Denmark through a bid or an auction house for $1,000, and last I heard it was worth over $1 million.
Oh, that's terrific. That's a great story.
This was a long time ago, but
those stories
are worth looking at.
Oh, absolutely.
And auction houses are the place to go.
Absolutely. And even, with the internet, it's amazing to me how many things get overlooked. I can't tell you how often somebody comes to me with a painting that they found in an estate sale or a garage sale or a thrift shop, and it ends up being worth, thousands of dollars. So it can be exciting. So they're out there. The treasures are out there. You just have to be looking.
Who needs Andy? We got Chris. He's got the stories, right? All right. So where can people go? Where can our listeners go to find out more and have a visit with you or somebody on your team?
So the easiest way to find us is actually our website, and that's www.hindemanauctions.com. You can also call our office. The local number is 404-800-0192. That's 404-800-0192. And my name is Kristen, so you can certainly ask for me, and I'm happy to chat with you.
Well, we are delighted to have you in town. This has been fantastic, and we'll be following your progress.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Stay with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
Absolutely.
All right, Sanjay, you ready for the headliner?
I am.
He's been pretty patient. He piped in there a couple of times. He just couldn't take it, but it's time now. You ready?
Excited.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the show with CMA Financial Services, Mr. Chris Morris. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you, Stone?
I am doing well. It is so good to see you again.
It's nice to see you. It's nice to be here with all of these wonderful people. These are great people.
We get to do this all the time.
Yeah.
Man.
Where'd you get them from?
I don't know. Sanjay does all the hard work. I just show up and visit for a little while.
See.
Go home, get a nap.
Okay.
So quit stalling. It's almost nap time.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about CMA. How are you serving people?
So what we do is we help people make smart choices with their money. It's pretty simple. And we do that by helping them have, securities, no matter what happens in the markets, the economy, or the world. And we have a whole team of professionals. We have certified financial planners, CPAs. I'm both of those. We have some lawyers we work with, and we have insurance specialists and money managers. And we all come together and advise clients. And really, I think what we give them the most, Stone, is freedom, time freedom to to go out and live their lives and live their ideal lives, design and live their ideal lives, and not worry about this stuff that anybody else can handle for them, that they can delegate to someone like us. So that's what we do. It's pretty simple.
Well, one of the things, and I do have firsthand knowledge of this, you really do live into this idea of being a quarterback for your clients in introducing them and helping them develop relationships with other best-in-class providers, whether it's an estate attorney or an insurance professional. You take that part of your job very seriously, I think, don't you?
That's probably the most important thing we do. I see people all the time go out and say, well, I've got a perfect advisor, or I've got this perfect lawyer. My daughter and I think we interviewed over 90 attorneys to find the attorney that we work with for estate planning. And this guy is one of the best in Georgia. And many people that aren't professionals or don't have the background that we have can't tell the difference between a financial salesperson and a professional. Many people masquerade in the industry as professionals, and they're really salespeople. And it's very hard to tell the difference. The whole industry is steeped in this salesperson kind of mystique. And we know, and so coming to us, we kind of get to the bottom of it, and then we refer people. And we've never had a problem with the people that we use. They're really great, and we also work hard to get them to be very inexpensive, too,
which is important. I'll share with you, before we came on air, Pat and I were visiting downstairs, and we were talking about some dealing with issues of aging parents or people in your family. And I get the feeling that I could come to you, and I know that's not your expertise, but if I needed to speak with someone about that type of situation, if you didn't already have someone in your stable, if you will, I know you and Jessica would get to work and go find someone that you know and trust and that you would recommend that I visit with.
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that happens is our clients, once they work with us, they tend to stay with us for life. And we go through the whole process. So often they'll hire us in their 60s because I think people, for some reason, do financial planning.
they figure out they either have something or they don't. Either one needs planning, right?
Yeah, they need it in their 30s, but they wait. But anyway, they hire us. But once they hire us, they tend to stay with us. And we go through the whole life cycle up to the point where one spouse dies. And it's interesting, the spouse that calls us is the surviving spouse before mm-hmm. they call their lawyer. And then we handle everything for them
right.
behind the scenes and make sure everything's handled so that they can deal with their grieving. And then when the second spouse dies, we have things prepared to go on to their children and their heirs the way they want it to be. So we work. And you're right. One of the problems is healthcare. While we don't have expertise there, we do call upon different people or recommend different things. Hopefully they have the right trusts and the money set up so that they're protected.
But if they don't, you help them navigate that path.
Oh, we do all of that. That's we do this. We meet with them several times a year, and we make sure that they've covered all of their bases so that there are no surprises and no bumps in the road that mess up their lives.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for a financial advisor in a highly competitive arena, I would think, in a highly competitive market? Does your phone ring? Do you go out there and shake the bushes? How do you get new clients in your world?
Most of our clients come from referrals, and our clients really love what we do, and they refer us to other people. The difficult thing is teaching the clients to not say, I got a great broker, or I got a great – they know us as a great insurance person, or I've got a great – CPA, because that's not really what we do. We coordinate a team of professionals that take care of them. And there really isn't a lot of people that do what we do. I'm not aware of anybody in the Atlanta area that does exactly this type of service. So we're not a brokerage firm. We're not an insurance company. We're not a CPA firm. We have people that do those things, but we're more geared toward finding out what the client wants and needs, what their goals are, making sure they achieve those goals, like I said, no matter what happens in the markets. And then we coach them to make sure that they're doing all the right things. That's really the plan. And if we need professionals, and often we do, we go searching. Like I said, we looked at 90 attorneys years ago to find one that we thought was great.
So you're vetting me now to be your go-to radio host?
You are the go-to. Similar to us, there's nobody that does what Radio X does, and no one that has anyone like you. You are the best. So.
All right.
I'll second that.
We can close the show now, I think. Yeah. I got that on tape, right? So one of the more recent conversations, because you guys are, you're always forward-looking, in my opinion, and innovative, I think, is a fair. One of the more recent conversations that I really think it was Jessica that brought the topic up, and we really haven't dived into it. Incidentally, in the interest of full transparency, some of the money that we have, my wife has a real job, so we do have some money, and Chris and his crew manage it. So, but one of the more recent conversations has been around this bank on yourself. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, since we're in the business, in my opinion, of helping people, that is, our job is to help people be successful. That's really what we want to do. And the real challenge that I think people have today, and I've dealt with thousands of people, or we have over the years, is debt. Debt is the real problem that people have. And I think business, large corporations, can to some degree be blamed. I was chief financial officer of an insurance holding company, and one of the companies we had was Rhodes Furniture. Our chairman was a guy named Mac Robinson. He owned First Wachovia. And this furniture company, if you looked at the books, they lost money every month, every year. So why did we own them? Because Mac was a banker. So we financed the furniture. So what we lost, we more than made up with on the interest. Well, and General Electric did the same thing. They're out there financing refrigerators. And last time I bought a car, I came in with a check to buy the car, and I had to sign paperwork to finance the car and come back the next day and pay off the loan, because the profit isn't in selling the car. Profit is in the financing. We actually did a study. I'm writing a book on this. I write books periodically, and I'm writing a book on this. If you look at the average person in their lifetime, they're going to spend enough money in interest, if you don't count school loans, to put $750,000 in the hands of banks by the time they retire.
Ouch.
If you include the school loans, it's well over $1 million. This does not include mortgages. So the whole challenge that we as American children, young people growing up have, is to have the discipline to put money aside every month in a savings account, and then when it comes time to pay for things, to take that out. And then the other challenge is, once you take it out, to replenish that account. I was meeting with a number of CPAs. There was like five CPAs in a room, and I said, "Do you have emergency cash?" And they all admitted one by one, "Well, I used to, and I tried that, but then I had to buy a car, and it went away, and I didn't want to fool with it anymore." I said, "So how do you pay for cars?" "No, I just sign a piece of paper," with no understanding of what they're giving away. So that the whole idea is to get the message out that you want to really learn to finance, to put money aside for yourself. That's really kind of what we try to teach younger people to do. Most of the people that come to us that are older or like Stone, and they have a lot of money and good looks to boot, you know. So and so we're just helping them with their kind of continue taking care of their things. But the younger people really need to learn to manage debt, like my daughter and my son.
So even they are not immune, even though they're around it all the time, right?
Yeah. And one of the things we've learned that's really kind of crazy is you can put money in a bank in a savings account, but we found this. And I used to be CFO of several insurance companies. We found
you can't hold a job, can you? That's why you built your own business.
Yeah, I was actually president of a medical company at the age of 34. And the ripe old age of 35, I started a little business. And that was, we won't say how many years ago. It's like forever ago. But anyway, in the insurance industry, there are these insurance companies that are called mutual companies. They're stock life and they're mutual companies. And this is a gift I'm giving the audience. Mutual companies pay dividends to their policyholders. You've heard of Warren Buffett, haven't you? Warren Buffett bought a company called Mutual of Omaha. When I was young, they used to advertise on the Wild Kingdom. When he bought it, he converted it from a mutual company where the policyholders received dividends to a stock life company, and Warren Buffett received the dividends. Do you want to know how he became a billionaire? That's how he did it. And so there are not that many mutual companies out there, but you want to deal with a mutual company that will pay you dividends. And the second thing, and this is really rare, there's these insurance companies that are called non-direct recognition, and there are only four of them in America and one in Canada that you can buy insurance from in America, and they're tiny. You never heard of them. So I had a policy with Northwestern Mutual, which is a great mutual company. But when I borrowed money, let's say I had $100,000 in cash value, if I borrowed $90,000 out, my dividend just dropped, you know, by 90% or so. Just same thing in a bank. If you have $100,000 in a bank and you take $90,000 out, they're not paying you interest on the $100,000. Well, these crazy non-direct recognition companies, they pay you interest even when you borrow money out. Now, they charge you interest on the loan, but it's lower than the dividends that they pay. And so you can pay into these things, strip them out of the money. So if, you know, 10 years from now, Stone, you got $100,000 in one of these, and along comes a great investment, you can pull the $100,000 out and put it down on CMA stock. Not recommended. But that's what you can do. So this is kind of the concept. It's your money, and you can use it. You can leave it in there. It's a savings account. But the thing that I've learned as a financial advisor, go back to those CPAs. They borrow the money out, and then they say, I'm done with this. It didn't work. In these cases, I watch people. They pay them back because it's also got insurance. And so they now have an incentive. They pay it back. They borrow it out. So I want to give you a quick example. My son did a policy. It was $750 a month. He was an engineer working in a nuclear engineering firm. And my daughter did a financial plan for him. She's a certified financial planner. And she said, put all this money, every free dime you have, into this policy, which was $700. Plus, he was funding a 401k. Now, the 401k, you don't ever touch that money. And what I see people make the mistake of is they borrow from that and pay it back. That's a big mistake. That money is for retirement. You don't touch it. Anyway, he was putting this money in, and he came in one day. And I didn't know he was there. I heard my daughter screaming at someone. Well, that's not very professional, is it? And I heard this man screaming at her, and I thought, oh, my God. And I got up, opened the door, and there she is, and there's my son. And I said, oh. And she said, this idiot wants to cash in his bank on yourself policy. And I said, why? He said, I bought a car, and I want to pay for it. I don't want to borrow money on it. And I hate debt. And I said, how much did you pay? He said, $18,000. I said, well, that's okay. And I said, Carly, what does he have in his banking yourself policy? She clicks on the computer and says, oh, $25,000. And I said, well, can we send him a check for $18,000 and have it overnighted tomorrow? And she said, sure. And Josh says, wait a minute. I'm going to Comic-Con this month. And I don't have any money for that. And I got to buy a textbook for $500.
He wants all 25.
How much do you need? He said 20,000. So we sent him a check for, I think, 21,000 to make sure he had enough. He paid for the car, and then he paid it back. Now, let me explain. In his lifetime, he's going to pay in $360,000 into this policy. When he's 65, the policy will be worth about $800,000 cash value and another $1 million in life insurance. When he's 75, it'll be worth over $1 million, and he'll still have $1 million in life insurance on top of that. If he gets married, if there are any girls out there, he's a smart, good-looking engineer. But anyway, if he ever gets married and has kids, in 20 years, he'll have enough to pay for, at this point, 3 kids' college. Now, that's something else. When you borrow money out of these policies or you leave money in these policies, if you have saved money in a savings account for college, $100,000, in a 529, it reduces the aid you get from the government. Can you believe that? By about 4.5%.
I did not know that.
So if you put it in $20,000.
My financial advisor did not tell me that. I'm kidding.
Well, the only way to avoid it is to use these policies, these types of policies, because the FAFSA does not count life insurance, because it's life insurance, against the FAFSA. So he can borrow it out and pay for one kid's college, borrow it out, pay for another kid's college, borrow it out, pay for a third kid's college. Now, the problem is it phases out at about $160,000. So if you make above 160, it's not going to help you. But if you make below 60 for college, aid's free.
All right. So there's two major parts to this conversation, as I understand it. One is the innovative technique, the logic, and you have found something and you recommend it to your clients. 2 years from now, you'll find something else, and if you'll vet it, and if it works,
right,
you'll recommend that to your client. So there's that side of it. And even like in our relationship, and I know you have to be like therapists, Holly's eyes glaze over immediately. She don't want to hear about it. Just protect my money, do my thing. I get interested to a while, for a little while, then I don't have the IQ points or the work ethic to keep up with it. But we, and then we have you who we trust. But then there's this whole other side of this conversation. It's the mindset or the desire to want to take personal responsibility for your own financial success, and as a big part of that, not want to get caught in this whirlpool of debt, right? So you got to deal with in your work, you got to deal with that whole emotional side of things too, right?
Right, right. So there's – then I think this is the part. I'm going to change gears off of banking yourself. I just used that as an example. There's the debt issue, getting out of debt and staying out of debt, and I can't underestimate the importance of that. Most of the people that come to me, they're multimillionaires. That's how they did it. It's not that they were particularly – they were disciplined and they saved. Okay? So that's number one. But number two, once we get past that, what we really do is meet with the clients and we determine what's important to them, and then we determine what tangible goals they have that require money and planning to accomplish, and then we coach them to achieve those goals. And it's pretty simple. It's kind of like, may not know it, but I joined a weight loss program where I go in and they coach me. And quite frankly, if I didn't have them telling me what to eat, and I wouldn't have lost 100 pounds, which I did. So I gained back 30 of it. But I mean, I'm back on it, and I'm going to lose that in the next few months. So because of them, they taught me what to do, and they coach me. They say, now do this and now do that. On my own, I never could have figured this out. And it's the same thing, but I've been financed finances my life, and that's what I do. And so we use whatever skills I have, Jessica's and other people's best skills, to make sure people are doing the right things from a tax standpoint. People don't know how to reduce their taxes. They go to a person, H&R Block or whatever, say, prepare my tax return. They don't know if they did this, they'd save $2,000 in taxes because nobody tells them. They don't want to pay for planning, so they don't get the tax advice to reduce taxes. They just simply show up. What we do is go to the other extreme, and we do all of the planning and the things to make sure that they win and not give everything to Uncle Sam.
So there goes my H&R Block sponsorship. Thanks, man. No,
oh, no, they're doing like every CPA. I'm not going to criticize H&R Block.
No, in Chris's today. House is Beth, who does a marvelous job with taxes, probably with big businesses too, but she is particularly skillful, I think, and dedicated to helping small businesses get every advantage that they can. It's proper and legal, but she's like a porcelain bulldog, man. She's very diligent, isn't she?
Yeah. Jay, I have to remind her, you're not these people's mother, but because she'll call them and remind them, I need this. And I say, well, that's okay. You told them about 16 times. That's enough.
Right, but to my point, I'm going to suggest that we validated it, whether we did or not. One of the key character traits, I guess, in becoming wealthy and maintaining it is to be coachable, right? Yeah. I mean, you got to find somebody you trust. And it goes back to some of the topics we were talking about with the leader cast. I mean, I suspect that that is a character trait that is often espoused by several of your speakers, I would think, is right. to be open and be coachable, yeah?
Right. There's people that I'm probably guilty of this, that are do-it-yourselfers, and they want to do it themselves, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. And there are people, and usually it's funny, we meet with a couple, it's usually not the man, it's the woman who says, I think, dear, we need to delegate this to these people.
Is that true? Or do you find, because I personally,
in general,
Pat's heard me say this on air, I find women smarter, I find them easier to work with, I find them more collaborative, I find them better with money, I find them more comfortable in their own skin, I find them better at building and maintaining relationships. That's been my life experience.
Well, I agree with that. That's completely true.
Okay.
But what they're doing is they're trying to stop their husband from wasting all their money away on that new SUV or I guess that new boat.
Or because he's figured out how to play the market.
Yeah, right. And that's something else. Men kind of, I got this. I'm going to be rich any day now. And the women go, yeah, dear, I know. Let's go hire these people.
All right, we can do more of this another time. We got to wrap up. Best way for our listeners to get in touch with you, have a conversation with you or Jessica or Beth, what are the best coordinates?
I would. You can check our website, CMAWizards, WIZARDS.com. We used to have a radio show called Financial Wizards. So that's where that came from. And then, or you can call 770-493-7578. And what we do, for those who are interested, we send out a free book We spend 20 minutes on the phone going over the concepts in the book. And if you're inclined, we'll prepare your whole financial roadmap for free and without obligation. Some of those people become our clients, some don't, and we're completely okay with that.
But they're all better for it, especially that roadmap conversation.
The roadmap,
I got to say,
valuable.
For whatever my endorsement is worth. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story, man.
We appreciate it. Thank you for having us. We really enjoyed ourselves today. Thank you for these great guests. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm going to get
online
and do the auction, and I'm going to have to talk to my daughter about that meeting coming up.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Sanjay Touré and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.